Hey, I'm Daniel Colburn.
And I'm Caleb Porzio.
Welcome to 20% Time, where two coworkers discuss one programming topic every Friday for less than 20 minutes. So I just set up my desk in a totally new way with new monitors. And while I was at it, I was like, why don't I hang my mic upside down so I can kind of feel like a pro or a rapper?
Totally.
So I did that, and I like it, but it requires a lot more maneuvering than I'm used to.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a straight-up guy. I love the look of the down, and I might have to do it. It just seems like it would be more in my face. Like, there's a... I guess if it's to the side, maybe not.
Yeah, well, because your eyes are above your mouth.
Right, yeah. I need it, like, if I'm screencasting, I just can't see a world where that works.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it looks so cool.
Well, mine is kind of like at an angle coming off the side right now. So
I think that's how he's doing it. I think he's doing something sideways.
I think sideways Mike might be the way to go.
Yeah, that's definitely the way to go. Yeah.
We'll call him Sideways Mike Dorinda.
So this week in PRs, shall we?
I think we shall.
We shall. So there's a couple cool ones. This one is happening as we speak. It's not merged in yet, but it definitely will be. By Brainiverse. He's been at it on the route macros. He posted a package, route macros or something like that. Anyway, two of them got pulled in this week. Well, the one is about to be pulled in. Route redirect. So instead of, remember how we were talking before, how you were like, well, where do you put the basic root route redirect? And I was like, I would just put it, you know, right at the top of my routes file in a closure. And we settled on that. And then you Slack messaged me some time ago and was like, dude, that doesn't work because it doesn't get cached. Like, it's not
correct.
Right. So route redirect is a new shortcut. So instead of route colon colon get, it's route colon colon redirect. And then I forget the parameters, but you pretty much just pass in like the route and then the one you want it to redirect to. And it handles the caching for you. So it does cache because it uses an internal redirect controller. So problem solved. That's awesome.
Bingo, bango.
Bingo, bango. And the second one that's not pulled in yet, but will be, is the route colon colon view. So like how many times do you have...
Wait, how do you know it will be?
It will be. Taylor said it will be, essentially. Like, they're just working on the tests or the parameters, or there's discussion around it, but I don't know. It will be. I'm pretty confident.
I feel like you're developing an intuition for these things. You're like the horse whisperer of the PRs. You're like, okay, so that is a helper function, and those often aren't merged, but I could see this one going because... It has some parity with this other feature.
I mean, this whole podcast could be us talking about pull requests like it's a game show. Or
we could set betting odds. Like, we'll say, like, the over-under on this string helper function getting merged is, like, you know...
Yeah,
I don't understand gambling. No, I wish when I started that sentence, I knew what an over-under was, but I don't.
I don't.
Please don't tweet at me.
I will not tweet anywhere. So that's happening. That's going in, which I'm really excited about that. And all right, so macros. This podcast is founded on macros and our love for them, or my love for them, right?
Yes. Yep. You could also say that this podcast is fond of macros.
It is fond of macros. Very fond. So you saw this one because I think it was in the tweetosphere. So now instead of where route macros right now, you define them with a closure. You say the key and then you pass in the closure. Instead of that, you can still do that, but you can pass in a class that's sort of dedicated to that macro. Well, so the pull request was opened by Sebastian Luca, and he was like, oh, I think it'd be sweet if we had a class thing, whatever. And then Taylor, like, it kind of like trailed off. And that was one of those things when like Taylor sees something and he has
and
a vision.
Like goes off into
and then
Taylor's
he goes
world.
Off. Yeah. He like just goes off into wherever he goes. And then he comes back and he's like, boom, route mixin or macro mixin. You know, gives it a sweet name, gives it a beautiful API. So Sebastian Luca like kind of gets credit for it, but Taylor turned it into his own thing, and it's awesome. So now it's like, you can pass in. I think it's like macro. I don't even know the syntax, but you can pass in a mixin, which is a class that handles the macro. So now you can kind of reuse your macroing stuff. So you can just say like, if let's say if you're macroing the request facade, you can just say request, I think, I could be way off. I think it's request colon colon mix in, and then you pass in the mix in. And so you can do that for multiple things. So anyway, but you saw
it,
that, right?
It seems really cool. Yeah. So I sent it to you, and what I was thinking was this, when this is eventually available on models, this is going to be great because it's going to replace all of our feature traits.
Right.
And you're just going to have feature classes instead that you can pass around.
Yeah.
So, one day someday.
One day someday. I could see it being useful for, I don't know, I started having grand visions like, whoa, if I want to change PHP in some way or my Laravel PHP experience, I can make a mix-in that does something. Like, let's say I want to tapify everything. So everything has like a tap method or something.
Uh-huh.
I could make a mix-in called tap mix-in and then just put that mix-in on like every facade, and now everything has the tap method. Whatever. I mean, you can do that with macros manually, but
you
this
could actually
would
just probably put it on facade.
Whoa. I don't know if facade
is macrable,
and even
that wouldn't work.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I don't know. It feels a little to me like this could be getting into the, like, you know, where Rails, I actually don't know a lot about any of this. So somebody who does is laughing at me, but like Ruby, you can monkey patch, and I think you can modify source after the fact kind of thing. And so this is like getting into those waters where we're like changing the behavior of things magically. So I don't know. It's cool, and it'll be coming out in 5.5. So
I think you can technically monkey patch in PHP too. Monkey patching, as far as I understand it, and I could be totally wrong about the terminology here, but I thought that was basically just like overwriting methods on a class.
Something like that. Yeah, I don't know. At one point, I remember really wanting to do something, following it to its end, realizing that it's called monkey patching, realizing that PHP doesn't support it natively, and maybe there's some way, somehow, but it's like impossible or really, really hacky.
So I have used the word monkey patching to describe something that I did, and now I'm realizing that what I did might not have been monkey patching.
Okay, we need somebody to weigh in here on Twitter and tag us at us.
Please,
and tell us all about monkey patching.
Please tell me about monkey patching.
And its capabilities
but
in
the
PHP.
The thing that I thought that I did that was, well, I definitely did it, but I thought it was monkey patching, was like, if I wanted to use like this random class, but I wanted it, like this built-in Illuminate class, but I wanted it to behave differently in like one really certain way, I would basically go, like when we were building the, in the first episode, what were we building after the first episode?
The make method.
We were building the make method. We basically went in and like replaced a bunch of references to Illuminate
things with our own
classes that extended those things and overwrote one method.
Right.
So that's what I thought monkey patching was, but I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Something like that. Well, what we did was we like achieved the effect of monkey patching by extending a core class, you know, then like binding it into the container against itself and, you know, that weird, and I've had to do that 1,000 times, you know, when I'm hacking Laravel.
It's so sketchy.
Right. And it's super sketchy. So I don't know. This is not that. This is not the solution for that, because macros can't override existing methods, which is obvious, but it's actually like limits it, you know. I mean, it would be madness if it did, but it would be pretty cool. So
you're belligerent.
What's that?
You're belligerent. anyway, carry on.
Yeah, so that's those. I don't know, there's other random containers are now PSR11 compliant, which I didn't know what that meant until I looked it up. And all that means is that the container now implements methods get and has in 5.5. so yeah, there you go. Yep. And then my array random helper. Did we talk about array random on this podcast? I don't think we did. It might.
No, I like it though.
Yeah. So it's just a helper. Like there's this common pattern in PHP. I've used it 1,000 times when you have an array and then you need to get a random element from an array, but array rand, the built-in PHP thing, just returns the index, like a random index from the array. So you pretty much just have to like take your array and then pass in array rand with the same array to then define the key. So anyway, it's a common pattern. It's frustrating because you have to write the same variable twice or the same array twice. So I just made a little helper, array random, that just returns the random value of the array, and somebody modified it to make it more awesome, which is cool. So it's nice. Like I put something out, he took
Thanks
it in,
somebody.
It worked. And then somebody whose name is Vlakov. Yeah,
Vlakov Smirnov.
Vlakov. But that is in 5.4. So whatever. If you find yourself using that array thing, you probably, I don't know if you saw the tweet, but use it if you're doing that array random thing. So that is it for this week in PRs for me. Yep.
You are like the helper function guy. Like somehow you get helpers merged and no one else does.
Yeah, so far. I mean, that's, well, yeah, that's true. My me helper function failed miserably.
Listen, I think it was fine, and I think you should bring it up again in 6 months.
It's still in my personal helpers file, so I have that.
Wait, you have a personal helpers file? Tell me about this.
Oh, dude, helpers. So, do you have a helpers file? Do you use your own helpers files ever?
Kind of. Okay. Yeah, but I never call them just like helpers.
All right, I just call them helpers.php. I put them in the app directory. Pretty sure Jeffrey does it. I feel like that's where I got it from.
A guy who loves naming things, this seems out of character for you.
No, it's a convention. I don't know. I feel like this is something I didn't even think about because I swear it's in Laracast's like day one of Laracast's learning, I think. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so to add your own helpers file, because it's just a file with functions, it's not namespaced, you have to load it in your composer.json file, right?
Uh-huh.
So you have to, like, in composer.json, you have to add this thing. Oh, see, I mean, it's like a repositories key and then a path key, and then you have to add the path. And nobody ever remembers composer syntax. Like, you just don't. So you have to Google it every time. And so I have to Google it every time. So I went on this rampage to make a package that automatically did it for you. And it became like I don't know. At some point you would have to like require this package, Composer require the package, add the service provider manually, and then mm-hmm. it would auto load your helpers file automatically.
Well, but after 5.5, you won't have to do that, right?
Right. So that actually, this all came, it was a freaky experience because I'm writing this whole thing. Then I call Matt. I'm like, hey, I built this thing. It's actually harder to use than the thing it's trying to solve.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think it's worth anymore. And so we brainstormed and he came up with this crazy idea that we didn't know if it worked. But what if you required the package and this package composer.json file auto-loaded a couple directories up, like auto-loaded something in your Laravel app, you know? Like code, like composer.jsonception. And we were like, well, I don't know if that works. And turns out it works. And I never published the package. And we were going to call it titan/help. So you just composer require titan/help. And now it auto-loads your helpers file. So maybe we'll publish that. But anyway, that weekend, they came out with that composer.json thing.
Huh.
You know the service provider thing. Yeah.
You know what would be cool is if it auto-loaded a like .../.... config/helpers, which then allowed you to define multiple helpers files.
Yeah. I guess like it's an idiom to me in Laravel is that helpers being helpers.php.
You, sir, are the idiom.
I know. But yeah, that's the logical next step.
That was a Pink Panther joke.
Over my head. Over under my head.
Over under. What's the over under on the Pink Panther?
What?
Strong favorite. I don't know. So what is our topic today at 14 minutes
into
the episode?
Yep. We're talking about images.
Images. So first thing I want to bring up before we actually talk about anything useful about images is mostly related to naming.
Whoa.
When should an image be called image?
Oh,
when
right.
should an image be called photo? When should an image be called avatar? When should an image be called file?
Did you come up with that?
I did. Yeah, right, you were asking me for things that mean the same thing for your conference talk.
Right. That was such a good one. It made it in there. There's a whole slide dedicated to image, avatar, profile thing.
I bet you didn't put my fucking Twitter username on that
slide. Dude.
I bet you didn't.
No attribution. Hashtag no attribution.
Yeah. Hashtag visual deck. Continue.
So it made it in the talk. But that's a great one. That little segment was that segment was on names that, you know, like a blog, like the body of a blog you might call body or text or content. And that was a good one. Avatar, profile pic, picture, image, thumbnail, file, all that. So actually what I said in the talk was just use image. I was like, just use image. Just do it. Like
just use data.
Just use data. Right. In this instance though, image. So
All right, cool. Anyway, carry on. So handling images in Laravel. Why don't you set the stage?
Okay. I don't know how to set the stage, but images for me has always been, it's always the thing, it's always like when the feature requirement comes in to add an image, you're like, oh, like it just, this part of me dies because I have to deal with files and files are so,
so bad.
So bad. And I have to get out of like the pure logic world and into the like a physical thing that I have to be responsible for. And I just don't feel like equipped or I don't know. You know what I'm saying? You feel me with images?
Yep. No, I feel you. Yeah. So you know what I've been doing this week.
Images.
I've been doing images this week. And I know on this podcast we've referred to the project with all of the source posts and posts.
Right.
And all of the weird extending. So I am basically like adding images to that project.
Okay.
So all of the source posts and posts and stuff now have images, and it's like, you know, if the post has an image, then use that. If it doesn't, then fall back to the source post's image.
Dude,
so
I did the fallback thing this week, and I wanna compare fallbacks. But I did.
Mine's probably really bad, so I'll probably steal yours.
No, whatever. Go on.
Anyway, so I've got like a source posts or an images/source posts directory with images stored by ID. And then I have an images/post directory with images stored by ID. And then I have like a little function that's on both of them that like looks up whether that file exists and blah, blah, blah.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So I hate images. And so when an images requirement came up with the project I'm working on a couple months ago, I just said, I was like, enough's enough. I'm going to conquer images. And I feel like I kind of did for myself. And this week a requirement came in. Add images to something, and it took me maybe 2 minutes or less to completely add images to a new model in a totally working form. It's pretty dope. And so I want to tell you my tales of images.
This is probably literally going to save me actual human man hours.
It may. So. It totally did for me this week. And this thing might already be... So a couple disclaimers. If somebody knows a better way to do this stuff I'm talking about, please tell me, because I want to publish a package that does some of this stuff or record a screencast. So tell me if there's a better way, and let me post the package first if you can. Hashtag please. Attribution. Yeah. So anyway.
Hashtag don't scoop me. That's my new go-to. Whenever I tweet a gist, I say hashtag don't scoop me.
Don't scoop me. So is this what this is called? Scooting?
Scoop.
Scoop. Oh. I
don't
thought it was scoot, like you're like scooting, I don't know.
Oh, you're scooting
like,
in? Scooting in there and getting a package out real quick? No, hashtag don't scoot me.
Yeah, that needs to be a thing, because I have this inner fear, and I'm sure everybody does it, like as soon, one, I fear that I had this idea, so somebody else must be having this idea, and they're about to crush this package or this blog post and post it, and whatever, but that's fine. But like,
yeah,
I mean, if I share something,
can't fault people for wanting to build things. And like,
oh right, no.
And also, for example, like someone out there is actually building a couple things we've talked about, and I'm super grateful. Someone's
building
the branch to blog thing, which we talked about on North Meet South,
right?
And that makes me really happy. And then someone else is building,
Tweet
model
snippet.
Stories.
What's that? Model what?
Model stories.
Yeah, someone else doing
or model
stories.
Factory stories.
Yeah. So I mean. Maybe that, yeah, that's super cool. Like, so cool.
I think we should just use this podcast as a way to generate code that we don't want to write.
Like the Alexa.
Yeah.
Like in the meantime, until Alexa can do all our code.
Please build branch to blog.
Totally. Yeah, so I don't know. So anyway, I guess what I'm saying is, like, I had this idea to do it as a blog post, and I thought, well, if I talk about it on 20% time and somebody builds it all instead of me, I don't know. Is that wrong? Like, should somebody else just build it? Whatever.
I think you should build it because you really want to build it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to build it because I really want to build it. And if a week goes by and I don't build it, or 2 weeks, then somebody else please.
It's fair game.
Yeah, that's fair game. So anyway, this is how I handle images. Let me know what you think. So the step one, every image is its own model. So it's not just a field it's not a field on an existing model. It's its own model. So there's a God image model that is the image master. So if you have a post, and if you want that post to have an image, your post has an image ID in it that, you know, so it's a belongs to or a has one. Belongs to.
Okay.
So post belongs to image, right? Makes sense? So
yes.
that's step one. And then step two, the part two, there's only two parts of this magic recipe. Part two is a has image trait. on models that basically holds the relationship and a bunch of other cool stuff. So if I want to create a new model that has an image, so let's say I have a comment and I want comments to have an image. I create my comments.php, whatever. It already exists. All I do is add a has image trait and then make sure there's an image ID field on that table. And then I'm done. Like, it's all set up.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's that. But the cool things that it does for me. So has image has an attach image method that sort of handles the uploading. It creates a thumbnail version of itself and it stores both of those. So it creates a thumbnail version of itself. It uploads itself, and then has image also has an event listener that it's listening for a delete on post or on whatever the host model is. And when it's deleted, it deletes the image. So it checks if there is an image, and then it deletes the image if it exists.
Interesting.
And then the image model itself, when itself is being deleted, it actually goes into the file system and checks to make sure the file exists and then deletes the file. So anyway, then there's a bunch of other cool things. Like, the image model has a storage path, public path. So there's like public path in your views, storage path you use when you need to, you know, manipulate stuff. And then it has storage and public path for the thumbnail that automatically gets created and automatically gets deleted. So the thumbnail is like a side effect thing that every image has a thumbnail automatically generated and it automatically gets cleaned up and you can reference it easily.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the gist for images. But anyway, so I don't know. That's how I've been handling them.
I have a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
And as always, because I write a lot of front-end code right now, I'm going to talk about the front-end of this a little bit.
Front-end
images. So do you ever upload the image before you have stored its parent object?
Yeah. So that's like... So I used to stress out about that, and I have done that. I've done like temporary image uploading just to generate the preview on the back end, so I don't have to do, because I've tried the job.
And then what did you do? Did you do like a cron job to clear them all out if the post didn't get created or something?
Yeah, so I did, and I actually currently I have an artisan command called cleanup images that just scans through all the image models and then sees if there's, you know, and I have that on a cron, and I love that artisan command, cleanup images. Mm-hmm. Everybody should make one. It's sweet. Yep.
There should be like 20 like cleanup colon whatever.
Yeah, totally. Though there's that Titan has something for soft deletes, right?
Cleanup soft deletes. Yeah.
Something sand, quicksand. Yeah. Similar idea. So anyway, yeah, I've tried the front end JavaScript image preview thing and I've just gotten so lost with it. So then I did the automatically upload in the background and then, you know, like pass in the preview as an actual file, and then the cleanup thing. So go on.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm thinking about now. So like in this situation, it's like, okay, a source post has an image, right? Yep. And then like when I'm publishing a team post version of that source post,
right,
they have the option to upload their own image to overwrite that image.
Yep.
Or they have the option to crop the source post image.
Right.
Which would basically like create a copy of it cropped and store that as the post image. Or they have the option to like decide that they don't want to display an image on their version of this post.
Okay.
And so what I'm thinking is like if I've got to do cropping, like they've got to like upload it separately from the post so that like they could upload the image and then crop it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So anyway, these are all sort of floating around in my head. So what I'm currently thinking is basically what you're saying, like upload the image like as soon as it hits the drop zone.
Right.
Right. And then like store it as like not associated with a thing, but return like an image ID.
Right.
And so then when I eventually publish the parent thing, I just like associate that image ID.
Yeah.
So
right.
That's what I'm thinking now, and then I just need a little cron job to clean it all up.
Right.
But the whole thing is super creepy. Files are creepy, dude.
Yeah, files are creepy. There's two full stack radios on images. I think they're buried in the forms full stack radios with Jonathan Reink, I think. I don't know. But those are killer, and they address a lot of this stuff. But here's one super killer. Like, you mentioned the creating an image before the model is created.
Yeah.
So you have a create form where you're creating a post. And so the post doesn't exist yet until you hit save, but then you upload a file And how do you do that? You know, the thing. So here's the ultimate, like the holy grail of this problem or of solutions to this problem. Adam Wathen gets full credit, of course. And so when you create, let's say you go to create the post. If your create form, you know how everybody's create and edit forms are the same? I don't know. Mine are. Like, that's just how you do it. Sure. They're like pretty much the same thing. So his thing is, if he were to write this with what I'm describing, so the create form for post would just be title. And all he would do is put in the title and then hit create. And then as soon as he hits create, it sends you to the edit page with that title filled in. So now you're on the edit page and now you're editing that thing, you know?
Yeah. That's what he's doing in Kitail, right?
Right. He's doing that in Kitail. He did that on the screencast. I've heard people talk about this before. I think in one of his full stacks about like not writing interfaces like developers do, or maybe it was that Laracon talk by Ryan Singer. I think it was. I think that was from that Laravel talk by Ryan Singer, which was awesome. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out. But yeah, so anyway, I think that's ultimate because it's like everything just aligns. I love it when like the easiest way to develop something aligns with like the most user.
Yeah. It totally doesn't work for my domain, but yes, okay, that's cool.
All right, anyway, then worth noting. Go on.
That's all. That's all I had.
Okay.
I think I like it. What I really want to do now is read your image code because I think it's definitely better than mine.
Yeah, I don't know. It's at least has a home. You know,
I really like the idea that it has storage path and public path, as I don't have that.
Yeah, because there's so like otherwise you're having to remember. Yeah, and of course the storage path is linked to public with the symlink thing. You know, but yeah. So the storage path, the public path, the automatic thumbnail generation. Yeah, it's been okay. So my fallback thing. So I have a. What was it? Okay, so I have a product in this domain, this app I'm working on. There's products. And products are derived from posts. So it's pretty much like your source post thing. Like a product is actually a post with a parent post, you know?
Yes.
So when you go to create a product, you select the post you're creating it from, and then you add a price and things like that. So anyway, so when you add a product, I want to optionally be able to add an image. And if you don't add an image, when it's shown, I want it to show the original post's image, like the source post, right? So what this I ended up doing,
it's awesome. I got to use the double question mark operator for my accessor.
Oh, nice. I'm pretty sure I have the same thing. It's just a one liner. Yeah. So you did an accessor. I think I did an accessor as well. I'm interested to see what your accessor is named. I just named mine.
It's named image.
So I'm actually going to go to it right now. And, okay. So mine is get image or post image attribute.
What?
Yep. That's what I settled on. And I think
Why wouldn't you just call it image?
Because it doesn't say what it does necessarily. Like if it returns
an image.
Well, so my relationship is image, right? Because image is a model, it's not just a field.
So what context does this image get used in?
Anything, like a shopping cart or.
So it's a thumbnail.
Yeah, it's a thumbnail.
So why wouldn't you call it just thumbnail?
I could call it thumbnail, but then it's like, then it's another, so it is, oh, here we are getting into it. Because like a thumbnail is another word, which
it is a word.
I had a slide in the talk about, I called it conjunctive method naming. It's probably, those words don't even exist, but.
Yeah, it's called Java, but go on.
Get image or this or that and this. But I think it's so handy.
Get like image or thumbnail constructor factory.
I love
factory.
When I first or create, first or new. I love that. It's so descriptive. It tells you exactly what's going on. So I thought like, why not image or post image? It's great. It's like product, get product image or post image. Because then you can always get the product image if you want. Like I still want you to be able to get just the product image in the system and know if it's null or not, you know?
Yeah.
So
okay, so this is a weird thing that I don't think we have time to talk about today, but I think it would be interesting. We could do like a lightning round on it real quick. The idea that like how much business logic description should you put in your method names? Right? I think that is right around the line for me of how much I would ever put in a method name.
I gotcha.
Because basically it's like, if I just call it like something, I guess I don't really like thumbnail because it could be a big image and I don't like calling big images thumbnails.
Right.
But like, if you called it like, featured image, right? So if you just called it featured image, like I would just look at it and be like, oh, that's an accessor and here's what it does. It does this and this, right? And mm-hmm. maybe you write a little comment that says, hey, this does this and this. Mm-hmm. The only reason I don't like calling it product image or post image is that like eventually that's going to end up in some JSON and I'm going to have to look at that, right? And so like in my transformer, what I'm going to end up doing is saying featured image equals this dot get product image or post image, which at that point it's just like, why don't I just call it featured image, you know? And it's a one liner, like I can read it.
I hear you. Like the JSON thing is a good point. Featured image, so you have like product featured image, but you also just have product image, and like the two are not distinct enough for me.
Yeah, I don't think image should actually,
because there's nothing image besides a featured image. Like it's the image.
I don't think image should be called image is what I'm getting at. I think like I think image should be called attachment or something.
Wow. Well, there goes the whole slide on.
Well, I disagree with your just call it image thing. I think for someone who hates the word data so much, saying just call it the generic thing is bad. Attachment says this is a file that is attached to this model.
Right. Image says this is a file that's attached to this model that's an image.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, image, because it could not be attached to the, it could be something that like, you know, I got a URL passed in from like an RSS feed or something.
That's true. I mean, it is, I don't know. We're way over time.
This is an image.
As soon as I start losing the argument, we're way over time.
Anyway,
as soon as I'm feeling cornered.
Cool. real quick, highly recommend these 28-inch Samsung 4K monitors. They're really great. I got two of them.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
My life
that's
is so
ridiculous.
Good right now.
My I have life one is so 27 inch right. and I feel like I'm swimming in it. Wow.
I have, well, I got them refurbished for half price, $256 a piece.
Wow.
So for like $512 or whatever, I ended up with, what is 28 times two? 56. I got 56 inches of K, of 4K.
They're both 4K. That's insane.
They're both 4K.
Wow.
That's and so they're both being driven by USB-C to DisplayPort from my MacBook Pro.
Wow.
Life is good over here at the Asheville offices of Titan Co.
Right. The Buffalo office is in shambles.
Yeah, we're really going to need to invest in our infrastructure.
Seriously.
Goodbye.
All right, see ya.
And a big shout out to Jared White for providing this music.